Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Normal people, we all are. The first news about normal people is that there is no news. Everyone was predicting this, that and the other. But so far we've had one email about normal people last night and one fantastic poem with the saga. We hope to bring you that before the end of the programme. And the main request we're getting is, where can the people get Connell's chain online? I've no idea. But anyway, normal people, the news is there is no news for people who are hoping. You'll have to rely on the previous episode of the programme when people phoned in spontaneously and let rip. Okay, Anne, good afternoon. More importantly, Anne, how are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Okay. Good afternoon to you.
And you too. And what happened? Was it yesterday? Yeah.
Monday morning. I had some pain in my tooth over the weekend and I wasn't sure if dentists had reopened or not. So I phoned my long-standing dentist at about 9:15 and they very kindly told me that they would see me as an emergency at 10 o'clock.
Great.
But before I went into the dentist, she advised me, the secretary advised me not to wear gloves, if I had a mask, to wear it, to bring my own biro, and that there would be a charge of €20 for PPE.
And you're a medical card holder?
I'm a medical card holder, and I didn't question it initially. I was so grateful to get the appointment. And I drove into my local town, and I buzzed at the door, and they let me in. And then I was seen by the secretary and I filled up the form with my own biro. So when the dentist invited me into her room, I was asked to remove my own mask. And she examined me. She was wearing a mask herself. And when she was examining me, she wore the visor.
Okay. So you and by the way, was your issue dealt with, your emergency? Because there's nothing
worse than
a sort. Okay. And you were asked to pay the €20. And was it explained to you why, as a medical card holder, you should pay extra?
No, I paid it ever before I went into the room.
Oh, you paid it before? Okay.
Yeah, I tapped the card and I paid my €20. I didn't question it. In fact, I didn't even question it for the first hour after coming out. I was so glad to be seen. But when I mentioned it to other people, they were saying, "Are you mad? Why were you paying €20 for PPE? Was the dentist covered from head to toe in a gown?" And I said, "No." So the plastic, there was plastic on the seat.
Which there often is, yeah.
It was removed after my consultation and the dentist. And it was replaced.
Okay, so it's single use. Okay, stay there. We have Fintan Hourihan, CEO of the Irish Dental Association. Fintan, good afternoon. 51551, wash your hands. Fintan, is this, first of all, tell us what dentists are doing, because I know dentists from the programme here and other programmes really feel that they've been so badly treated by the state since this pandemic erupted. But what are dentists available to do at the moment?
Well, at the moment, dentists are available to provide emergency treatment only, and that's regarded as an essential service. We're hoping that they'll be able to offer more routine treatments very, very soon, but we're waiting for direction from the state, from the Dental Council and from the Health Protection Surveillance Centre to allow that to happen. What is happening, obviously, is dentists are taking considerable steps to enhance the protections in place for patients, for staff, for the dentists themselves. So we're pleased to hear that dentists are taking extra precautions when they're seeing patients.
And it is a new CEO that they're charging medical card patients extra.
Well, I think we're in slightly unprecedented times. We met Minister Harris last week and we explained to him that dentistry is going to be a bit different now until the vaccine emerges and is available. Dentists will make every effort to provide the same standard of care, but clearly there's going to have to be extra precautions. They're going to take longer in between appointments as they make sure that they have a safe environment for patients. And at that meeting, Minister Harris said, which came as a pleasant surprise, that the HSE would make PPE available to dentists. So that's only in the last number of days that we've heard of that, which very welcome assistance for dentists.
And are you aware of it being delivered to any dental practices that are doing emergency work?
We haven't been told that it has been delivered yet. We know that there is a procurement centre the HSE runs in Cork. They have been inundated with orders from dentists in the meantime. So dentists have been told, if they are treating medically card patients, that they will get PPE. It hasn't happened yet.
Is it within their rights to charge medical care patients extra for PPE?
Well, the scheme and the contract is silent and all of that, because obviously nobody envisages a pandemic when the contract was drawn up. So I suppose the only thing we can say is that the state recognises it needs to help patients and dentists. It is offering to make the PPE available to dentists.
Are you aware, Fintan, as CEO of the Irish Dental Association, is that charge a €20 standard?
I can't say there's a standard, Joe. I mean, obviously, dentists set their own fees. As you know, we don't have a role in setting fees or advising dentists in regard to fees. What we do know is that support has been promised to dentists as regards PPE. It hasn't happened yet. What I can say is that the cost of PPE is far in excess of €20, and the fees payable to dentists are a fraction of the cost that they're going to incur for the foreseeable future in the medical card scheme.
Okay. Anna, have you anything to say to that?
No, I just wanted to highlight the fact and see if it was an acceptable fee, you know.
Okay. How many dentists are operation, Fintan, are in operation for emergency work? Because I think that's one of people's biggest worries, that they'll get a toothache or a filling will fall out, and that there's nothing worse than a dental pain. Is it spread? Are there enough dentists who will do emergency work?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, Joe, because obviously some of the dentists themselves aren't available for health reasons, or their practice staff, they're affected in the same way as everyone else. But the vast majority of dentists, now they can offer telephone consultation and triage, which is a good precaution for everyone. They will provide extractions, temporary fillings, drain abscesses, genuine emergencies where the need requires.
Just while I have you, Fintan, what is your first protocol when you do have a toothache?
We would urge everyone to contact their regular dentist, because very often what they can do is they can prescribe pain relief or antibiotics until such time as either the pain passes, or if there's a need for treatment, they can arrange it. The critical issue for the dentist is obviously they have to ensure that they have the PPE, that they have a safe environment for the patient. So sometimes they'll need to refer them in. We have asked the HSE to help with arranging emergency care in HSE clinics where the dentist can't provide it. That is something that they have said that they will do. So we want to make sure the patients are seen, and we want to make sure, obviously, that if they can be seen by the usual dentist, happens.
Are dentists on the roadmap?
No, they're not. I mean, aware, for example, that optometrists are specifically mentioned by way of a close example from next Monday. Oh, yeah. The Dental Council has interpreted that dentistry should be able to resume normally pretty soon after next Monday. But clearly, you know, they set the standards. We're waiting the Dental Council to give us standards. They're the regulatory body. We're waiting to hear from Professor Cormican, who I know has been on Liveline previously, to give some updated guidance. So dentistry is not specifically mentioned. Okay. We hope that, you know, normal dentistry will resume. Even but dentists only want to provide it when it's safe.
Yeah, of course. But even though we didn't get to one of the days that we were very close to getting to it, but the speed of texts and phone calls these days is completely different than before, and that it's even it's much more hectic. But anyway, I remember seeing a phone call from an optician saying, urging people, and I think it's not, it's not your area, Fintan, but I'm just saying it while you're there, about opticians opening on Monday, and they were urging people who use the daily contact lens, the disposable contact lens, they were urging them to stop using it because your eye was one of the main, as Professor Cormican pointed out here, your two eyes, your two nostrils and your mouth are the main areas of entry of COVID. But anyway, we'll try and clarify that. And thanks indeed. And Fintan Harrigan, CEO of the Irish Dental Association, thank you and all your members for your great work. Serena, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm just reading what your opening line is. A toddler screaming through the night with oozing ear infections, and the hospital appointment has been cancelled not once but twice. What's happened, Serena?
So my son has had reoccurring ear infections We had a hearing test on the 16th of January to tell us that his ears are full of fluid and he has negative air pressure in one ear, which is, if you're going up in an aeroplane and your ears pop, you can't unpop your ears. His ears are constantly like that. He constantly has that pain. So we were referred to Temple Street Private, which we pay a lot of money each year for private healthcare to be seen. We were referred there for the 18th of March, and the Friday before that, we got a call to say the appointment was cancelled. So we were then told we'd have an appointment on the 3rd of June, which in the meantime, I work in a creche and I finished work at the end of March, and within 6 weeks of me being finished work, my son has been on 3 antibiotics for severe ear infections. So yesterday morning, I got another letter in the post to say that his appointment has again been cancelled. Now, my child is in severe pain. He is behind with speech because we have been told, due to the fluid in his ears, that it's like he's in a swimming pool with his head underwater, so he's not hearing anything, only mumbling. So he has no speech. He has no way of communicating true speech with us. So that obviously frustrates him too. But he's just constantly in pain, and his ears are constantly have fluid and wax and everything just building up.
He's so young. He's only two. And Nathan, how, is he awake all night? Is the pain anyway salvable by you or medication or anything?
The last week, we have been up pretty much every hour on the hour during the night with him. And it's constantly like you'd swear someone was beating him in the bed, like the screams of severe pain. And there's nothing you can do. Like, you just try and comfort him your best. We take him up, we walk around with him, we try and comfort him to the best we can. But it's just so frustrating. Like, you'd love to take some of the pain away from him. And it's just so frustrating, the fact that the appointments keep getting cancelled and he is in such a severe pain and nothing has been done.
And we've done grammars before here. Is the waiting list in the public system, as it was then, still as long, do you know?
Well, we were told if we went public, we'd be waiting a year and a half. And that it'd be much quicker to go private. But in the first place then, we were still waiting 9 weeks for an appointment, which we were told was a long wait for private, for it to be cancelled on the 18th of March and then cancelled again.
And have you been given any reason why the appointments are cancelled? Is it that the staff have been redeployed?
Until the curve is, till the spread has gone down of the COVID-19, that they're just continuing to cancel appointments. They don't want it spread.
And is it just, how does he show his distress during waking hour? Now, not that, I think every hour seems to be a waking hour for the poor child. But is it different at different times of the day?
He constantly is trying to stick his fingers in his ears or stick anything in his ears and moves it around. It's like he gets some sort of ease from it. Like anything that will fit anywhere near his ears, he'll try and stick it in his ears and wiggle it to move it. Just to get some, it must give him some sort of relief somewhere. But whatever, like anything that will fit in his ears, he'll wiggle it and try and stick fingers in, try and stick anything in his ears.
Okay.
And banging his head off the floor or banging his head off the walls just to try and relieve that pain.
I just wonder, is there anyone listening who's in a similar situation that has? I know you can't be recommending remedies, but has been able to get an appointment or get to a doctor who might be able to recommend some pain relief, but it's an awful situation to be in, Serena. Serena, thanks indeed, and you're dreading it. You're dreading tonight again. By the way, the Minister for Education is speaking to the Dáil as we speak, and it just reminds me, we got so many messages yesterday from Leaving Cert students and their parents about the predictive grades and this ultimatum from the department that has, and teacher unions, that canvassing in any shape or form will disqualify. So parents were even worried about ringing the school and asking basic questions about how the results would be in case it might be interpreted as being as canvassing and penalise their offspring. This is another, this is read by an actor, and this is a student who contacted us again, who was nervous, didn't want to be identified because of the predictive grade sequence.
Hi Joe, I'm just listening to the emails in relation to the Leaving Cert. Like others, please do not read out my email address. I too am a parent of a very anxious Leaving Cert student. During the parent-teachers meeting in November, two teachers indicated what they thought my son would get in the Leaving Cert. To improve on these grades, he attended numerous grinds, including an intensive course over Christmas, and virtual grinds all through lockdown. He feels his score is written in stone. He is devastated. He needs high points for his course. He has a portfolio of the extra work done, marked by other teachers. I want to contact the school and show them this work so that they can appreciate the work and improvement he has made. He needs them to have the full picture. Like everyone else, I don't want to undermine the teachers, but I do want to trust the system, but this is very hard. It's difficult to see your child upset and worried after all the work he has done. I feel he was sprinting along, and now someone has put a wall in front of him. Why can't pupils be allowed, if they want, make a representation to the school in a specific format without indicating a grade? I think it would certainly help their anxiety over the next few weeks.
And thanks, Sinead, for reading that out. There's more to come. But the Department of Education skills say, as of the 11th of May, tuition, whether online or otherwise, ceased. I didn't know it's completely ceased, but it is ceased. Well, obviously, the predictive grades mean there's no... What's the point in learning anymore, so to speak, or studying anymore? Ceased for six-year Leaving Cert students. This applies to Leaving Certs applied and the Leaving Cert established. In other words, every former Leaving Cert that's there. No additional work will be accepted from students from this date. Teachers and students may not discuss the student's achievement in the subject over the past 2 years, nor can they discuss the student's ranking in a class or their estimated mark or the level at which an estimated mark is to be provided in a subject. However, students remain students of the school until the end of school term, and in terms of the school's role in supporting the well-being of Leaving Cert students, the role of the student support team, as set out in the guidance issued recently to schools, should remain available until the end of the school term. But say you've been, as I mentioned earlier in the promo, the query we got, a student whose family are going through difficulties, and he's been especially relying to great effect on a particular teacher in the school who spotted his difficulties and has been supporting him throughout the year. And she also happens to be a teacher of one of the subjects. So can he ring her and say, listen, I'd love to talk about, and I'm in panic again about what's happening at the house? No, he can't. That's my reading of it. He'd have to ring another teacher who doesn't know the situation and maybe is completely unaware and has issued a privacy. But anyway, that's the situation we're now in. More readings from students and parents worried about this predictive grading. And as you heard there from that parent, they were told before Christmas he's not looking good in a couple of subjects. He's worked tirelessly since then, grinds both in person and online since the lockdown. But that's all for naught. All for naught. He'd be judged on what they said about him last December. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Tony is a Leaving Cert teacher. Tony, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Hi, Joe. Well, first of all, I'd have to say that anything I would comment here would be bearing in mind the appreciation that everybody has for those on the front line and the health and safety of the students, and indeed anybody who might have been supervising exams, and the parents, and so on and so forth.
So what do you think of predictive grading on this diktat yesterday? This is
intrinsically unfair. Yeah. I've been at this for quite some decades, and I know what I'm talking about.
And in 6 years, Tony, given your... do students improve dramatically, say, between the mocks or the Christmas exams and the Leaving Cert?
I have had students increase by 40% from the start of 6 years to the Leaving Cert. From mocks... 20 to 30%, and you cannot predict which students are going to improve the most. And we're being asked, I heard today, I need to check on this, that we're being asked, it's not just percentages we're being asked, I hear today we're being asked to give them a grade out of 1,000 in order to be able to distinguish between different students. I cannot distinguish between different students. I couldn't give one student 71 and another justifiably 72. That's nonsense. And we're going to dictate the rest of the lives of our students.
But of course, the only reason they're getting a grade is because of the supply and demand at third level, isn't it? It's to decide who doesn't go to third level, basically.
Well, that's it, and who gets to do what course.
Tony, just listen to one of the parents who contacted us with their issues that they're afraid to go public with.
I have just received a school email informing me that all classes for Leaving Certificate students must stop and teachers will not be able to accept work from students. The school had intended to continue online tuition.
I don't know what happened. Was that the end of that or is it gone? Okay. We play it again. Sorry. It's, go ahead, Dave. Did you come with?
Like that, not all teachers have engaged with their students during school closure. In my child's secondary school, approximately 3 teachers have not given work to their students and have not been in touch at all. Parents have emailed the principal expressing their concern and disappointment at the lack of interest and loyalty to their students, but nothing has been done. Some of these students have been preparing for the Leaving Cert and had the additional stress of no contact with some subject teachers. These teachers are all receiving full pay and therefore are obliged to work in some format. However, there won't be any reduction in pay or any reprimand for these teachers. Another interesting point is that the language and practical teachers who would have examined the orals back in March still received that additional pay, even though the orals and practicals were cancelled. Will teachers who had registered with the State's Examination Commission to mark the written exams this summer get that additional pay regardless that the state exams have been cancelled? How can all this pay for doing nothing be justified?
And we're at the situation, Tony, regardless of the merits, I can't judge the merits of any particular parents, including that one, but very, very well stated. Like, you can't contact the school now. Is that your understanding? You can't contact
the school. Absolutely not. But just comment on that particular parent, and I can't say how true or not that is, but that's one parent suggesting one scenario for whatever number of students, etc. Mm-hmm. I've been working from 9 o'clock in the morning, 8 in the morning, until 11 o'clock at night, and I'm not getting any extra pay for that. So let's not go down the route of pay. That's not what this is about. This is about fairness to our students.
And what's the way? Okay, no predictive. You say predictive grading is so unfair, and we're hearing that from parents.
Absolutely. Even that parent who's complaining, whether legitimately so or not, doesn't matter. The idea that some potentially, maybe, some teachers aren't doing as much as others. Mm. Surely the same scenario will exist in the marking of the grading of the
students. Good point. And you are a teacher for
years
standing.
Me wrong.
Yeah, I know.
If
I
you
take
go
your
back,
point.
If you take me back 25 years, there is no chance I would have the capacity back then that I have now to mark my students fairly, no matter how much of an effort I would make on it. A teacher might be teaching the Leaving Cert for 2 years and suddenly has to grade students. Most unfair.
Okay, well, I think the only way out is to open third level even more. I'm already hearing a lot of lectures for first year up to September 2021 will be online.
I think this online is definitely a way to go.
Well, that means we can take more students in, and that means we won't get into this rat race of trying to decide who shouldn't get into third level, which is what the predictive grading is all about. Okay, Tony, Gura Mila Mahagan, thanks for your service. Fidelma, you are a medical card holder. You had an emergency with your dentist. Were you charged extra because your dentist was wearing PPE?
No, Joe, I wasn't.
Okay. And what was your emergency, by the way?
It was a gum infection.
Come on, are you okay? We sorted?
And I had it sorted on Monday morning and there was no charge.
Well done. Philip McCann. Philip, you're a clinical dental technician. Okay, your quick points, please.
Just in the last few weeks, I'm out of work probably the last 6 weeks purely on the basis that, you know, I can't treat patients. But there's dental technicians treating patients, calling for patients' doors, unqualified, unregistered, and they're treating medical card patients and charging them in excess of over €100 to fix their dentures. These are elderly people cocooning in their homes. Mm-hmm. And I've reported this to the Dental Council. They've, you know, it's ongoing, as I say, Joe. They're kind of sitting on their hands. And I know for a fact the guard spoke to the Dental Council this morning. The Chief Dental Officer is meeting with Simon Harris tomorrow. So I just, for the life of me, I can't understand how we have unqualified, unregistered dental technicians driving into people's homes, treating repairing their dentures and dropping them back. These have no qualifications. We're CDTs, clinical dental technicians, dentists, we're all clinically trained.
Okay.
Everything that we do, we're registered with HICWIC.
And are you fixing dentures at the moment?
No, Joe, because as I've been out.
Well, there's nothing worse for anyone, an older person or whatever, than to have denture problems.
And
Philip, do you know, by the way, people on medical care, can you charge extra?
No, you can't, Joe. That's the other thing, you know.
Or is it unclear because of the pandemic?
Yeah, no, I heard Vincent Horahan say, but last week he was at pains to state that dentists are used to using PPE equipment because they wipe down after every patient, which is true. And then this week, today, he's able to say that, well, because of these circumstances, we'll be charging more.
Okay.
You know, so you can't have it both ways, Joe. This is what I'm saying.
Okay, we'll find out more. Philip McCann, thanks indeed.